Hosanna in the highest. That's the proclamation that went forth on that special day, the day that our Lord Jesus Christ made his procession into the holy city, Jerusalem. You'll find that when you journey with me in John chapter 12. For there's a crowd that gathered that sung a similar refrain to what you just sung. Hosanna. I mean, Lord, save us. Hosanna. He's our Lord, isn't he? Let me check if God blessed anybody on this day. He's our Lord, isn't he?
Yes.
I woke up this morning and it was winter time, and then I hung around a little later and it became fall. And I think before it's over, it'll be spring. But God has blessed me in every one of those seasons all in one day. God is blessing us. And it's important for us to always remember that whatever stage you are in life, that God always is concerned about you. Now, somebody may need to hear that right now, that God is concerned about you. He knows where you are. He knows where you are in the seasons and stages. He knows where you are. He knows where you are where others who are sitting around you don't even know where you are. He knows. No, I'm not talking about your physical location, though he does know that. But he knows the innermost secrets. He knows where you are. And he's here for you. Oh, my. Y'all help me preach on this morning just for a moment. Just tell somebody, he's here for you. That's really what they knew when they were declaring Hosanna to the Lord in the highest there in our text, John 12:12, where as he's entering in, they're crying out, Hosanna in the highest. There's a party, a parade that gathered. And would you read with me in the text from the 12th verse, the next day the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees. One of our students gave me this branch when he came on in. And I said, man, let me hold on to that just for a moment. Let me hold on to that. But they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. They had something in their hands, and they went out to meet him. Look at the text. And crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written from Zechariah 9:9, fear not, daughters of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's coat. Don't miss this now, because this is the first day of Passion Week. And those who heard that Jesus was coming, heard that the king was coming, they ran out to meet him. And in meeting him, they didn't come just empty-handedly. They came with palms in their hands. One gospel writer said they removed their cloaks and laid it on the coat. They came to celebrate the king. What did you come to celebrate this morning? Who did you come to celebrate this morning? It's interesting that in this celebration, Michael, they are not looking for what the king is going to do for them. Rather, they're coming with the action of wanting to do for the king. Well, I got to work for a moment. I got to get you to see this. They're coming before him because they are already celebrating before he does what they're requesting for him to do. Maybe I need to say this a different way. In anticipation for what they know he can do, they're celebrating what he's coming to do. Yeah. They're saying, Hosanna, save us, O King. And they're celebrating before their salvation is even realized. They threw a parade. You know, similar to what I heard when a nation declares Christ as their king, because there in Poland, there's a 440-ton cement statue, a sculpture that has been sculpted by an artist to depict his rendition of Christ. Get this, it's 33 meters, a meter for every year of Christ's earthly ministry. Oh, okay, I'm in America, hold on. It's 108 feet. Yeah. And when this sculpture came, the nation of Poland declared that Jesus would be their king. The entire nation, the president showed up with the declaration that Jesus would be king of Poland. There's a lot of fanfare that was involved in that. The bishop council came around and they said that effectively this would mean it's not a culmination, but it's the beginning work of the enthronement of Jesus in Poland, quote. A nation that declared Jesus as their king. They threw a party. I was reading some of the comments, because you know how we do when we're doing online research, right? We see the story, but then we like to know what other people comment on it. Okay, y'all don't do that. When you watch videos, my younger crew, before you really look at it, you want to see what other people say about it. And they said something like, America ought to take notice from Poland. And I looked at that and I knew in preparation here, they were celebrating around a declaration that Jesus is king. But way before they made that declaration, the declaration was already made. Oh, I got to help you understand something. Because in our text really comes from a messianic psalm, Psalm 118, and where they're declaring Jesus with the request of save us, Hosanna, this word that's only used this one time is taken from Psalm 118. Hope you didn't close your Bibles. Psalm 118, verses 23 and 26. This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. But one of my favorite verses, verse 24, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. I use that for every day, because every day is made by the Lord. But specifically, what is recognized here is the day that you see in John chapter 12 is the day the Lord comes in on his procession, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. It says, this is the day the Lord has made. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. We ought to be glad in this day. Why? Look at verse 25. Save us. The same request. We pray, O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Didn't you just read that in John? So this messianic declaration was already made. You know why? Because before man ever decided to kick off a parade, Before someone decided to declare Jesus as king. Yeah. Pastor George, you already know from eternity to eternity, he declared himself to be king. Yeah. I'm going to work for a moment here. He comes and they're declaring him Tyrone to be king, but which only tells us that God in his love and concern for us, don't miss this, that God planned our eternal security. When there's a parade that's going to kick off, you got to get a permit from the city. You have to jump to all kind of hoops. You got to tell people and call people and let them know there's going to be a parade. But guess what? When God plans a parade, he doesn't have to call anybody. He lets you know from eternity to reality that here's the reality. He is king. He's always been king. He always shall be king. And no matter what happens in your life, when you know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you have nothing to worry about. And get this, he planned it. He planned for our eternity before we ever got here. He planned it because he knew we needed to be saved. There's a culture out there who believes that they don't need God's help. There are some who are unaware of the help that is provided from God, that they believe that they don't need God's intervention. Oh, but like my grandfather used to say, just keep on living. The time's going to come where you too will have to cry out, Hosanna, save us. Get a diagnosis from the doctor. You'll cry out, save us. And here's the beauty of God wants you to be saved. Oh, we don't know when to celebrate in here. I'm just God wants us to be saved. So Jesus comes in this first day of Passion Week, what we call Palm Sunday, because they ran out with palms to celebrate him and proclaim him as king for a little while. Christ, knowing what he's coming for, didn't stop him from coming. Why? Why would Christ continue in the procession knowing that pain was in front of him? Because he didn't come for them to proclaim him as king. He's already king. He came to pay a price for us that we couldn't pay for ourselves. And yet he comes. He comes because he knows that our eternity hangs in the balance. You do understand that we will be here and after this life. There is a life to come. And God not only plans for our eternal security, God is concerned about our eternity. Let me tell you why. Isaiah 66, verse 22 declares, "For as the new heaven and the new earth that I, God says, make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remains from the new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath. All flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord." Look at verse 24. "And they shall go out and look on the dead bodies of men who have rebelled against me, for their worm shall not die. Their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh." Eternity matters, and there are two trajectories in eternity. You've been to church long enough, you know this, right? There is where everybody want to go. There's heaven, and then there's... You said it first, okay? So don't send me no emails. There's hell. Don't miss this, because just as heaven is for real, hell is for real. But God, and it's also for real that God does not desire for any of us to go to hell. But if you rebel against God, you get to go to hell. I had to pause it that way because, you know, it would have sounded wrong if I just said go to. And so concerned about our eternal security, God wouldn't leave it to chance for you and I to know of his love and to be saved. You know it, don't you, John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave Christ Jesus, the only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish." We don't have to perish, but when we believe in him, we will have what? Everlasting life. So what happens from this life to the next when you believe in God is that you will have life in his presence. I hope you get this, because this is what Jesus came for. He came knowing what would happen, and he kept on coming because God is concerned about our eternal security. He's concerned about our eternity. And because we know of his love for us, because we know how far he's willing to go for us. Let me help you understand something. He wasn't declared king just at that first week going into Passover. He wasn't declared king that. No, he was declared king from eternity. He wasn't declared king, just king when he was proceeding into Jerusalem. No, he wasn't just declared king when Pilate asked in John later on, are you really a king? And Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world, because if my kingdom was of this world, my angels would have come. I'm not from here, Pilate said. So then you are a king. Jesus says, yes, you have said it, but guess what? He was king before Pilate declared him king. When he got on Calvary's cross, paying the price for all of our sins, and they were tacked on the top of the cross, said he was the king of the Jews, before he was ever tacked on the cross, he was still the king. Lee, we got to get this. We got to get this to understand it. He's always been King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why Matthew 28, when he comes, and we're going to celebrate it Sunday, but let me help you understand something. Yes, he did die. He died on cross, on Calvary's cross. He became sin, paying the price for you and I. But guess what? He didn't stay dead. And since I'm not guaranteed that all of you going to get back here on Sunday morning, something might happen between this Sunday and next Sunday, and you may be in the afterlife. I want to make sure you know who can carry you to the afterlife, because when he died, guess what? 3 days later, he got back up. And when he got back up, he said, all authority, get this, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He has the authority. So when we declare him king, we're just agreeing with what he already has. That he has all power. That he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or even think. For here, as he's entering into Jerusalem, they're asking for him to save them from a regime of oppression, a earthly regime. They wanted Christ to assume the throne because there were. They're caught up in their temporal condition. That all they saw was what they were going through in that moment. But God knew that there was a deeper need. Oh, I hope you get this. That when he came not to end their discomfort of oppression on earth. He came to pave the way so that they can have life at peace eternally with him in heaven. And when we believe, I mean truly believe, that we are the body of Christ and that Jesus is true, where he says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how will we know the way? And Jesus says, I thought I had some Bible readers up in here. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets to heaven. No one gets in the presence of the Father except by me. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't miss it. So when we declare him as king, and we should celebrate him as king continually. The issue in Jerusalem on this particular day was when they celebrated him as king, as you heard Pastor Austin say, when they celebrated him as king, it was momentarily, it was in the moment, but when he didn't come as a king that they wanted him to come as, they changed their declaration from Hosanna to crucify him. Oh, wait a minute, don't look too hard in judgment on these group, because sometimes when God don't come the way we want him to come, does that change our declaration of him being king? If when things don't happen in our lives the way we think it ought to happen and trouble comes, does that change our declaration of him being king? Talk to some real people for a moment here. When you wake up in the morning and it's cold, and you don't have a propensity for such climate, do you wake up joyous that he is still king? If it's storming outside and hell is coming down when you're trying to prepare the scene for journey to the cross, do you still declare him as? I'm sorry, I'm in my. You gotta understand, I'm confessing right now. Is he still king? Then should we stop celebrating him as king? Because the people in our text in John chapter 12, the celebration stopped by the end of the week, before the end of the week. Because this king didn't come the way they thought he ought to come. When God doesn't come the way we think he ought to come, we ought not let that stop us from declaring who he is in our lives. Oh, I got some things to show you here. Because when God is in your life, and when he is indeed your king, you declare it because he's your true king, meaning that you believe in him. Check out what Jesus said. I mentioned it earlier, but I really want you to hear it right there in John. In John 18th chapter, the 36 through 37 verse, Jesus speaking to Pilate, he answers, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servant would have been fighting, and I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth." Here it is. "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." It's one thing to say he's king. It's another thing to live as he's your king. Because my heart for you is that you're not among those in the last day when Jesus will come and say, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not preach? Did we not go to church in your name? Did we not do ministry in your name?" And Jesus says, "Depart from me. I don't know you. I never knew you." Because we can proclaim him as king and not accept him as king. You accept him as king when you agree with the truth of who he is. And when he's your king, I got some good news for you. You get to go to his kingdom. When he's your king, when he's reigning supreme over your life, you get to be a part of his kingdom. Oh, let's journey just a little bit. Because when you know Christ, we have hope to live in heaven eternally. Oh, come here, I want you to see something there. In Revelations, you know that book some of y'all don't want to go to? The last book in your Bible. Bring your Bibles to church with you. That last book. In Revelation, the seventh chapter. Look with me just quickly at the ninth verse when we consider this the kingdom that our king reigns over supremely, where we will be with him after this life. He said, John writes, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches." You got your Bibles open, don't you? With palm branches in their hand. You see, that first one, that wasn't the real Palm Sunday. There's going to come a time where we're going to have a palm celebration unlike any other. Some of you act like you've never been to a party before, but it's okay. I'm going to get you here. Everybody is around the throne. Don't miss it. "And crying," verse 10, "out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, to the Lamb.'" When you belong to the king, and he indeed is your king, then you get to live with your king eternally. That's why believers ought not become frightful when we see death. Because our faith carries us from this life to a better life. Because heaven is life with God without the problem of sin. Did you catch that? I like the way D.L. Moody said it. He said, heaven is like a city with no cemetery. You know of a city like that? Where there is no more death because the wages of sin is death. But look why it's so good to be in the kingdom of God, understanding he's your king. First of all, in heaven, let me give you some realities, seven realities. In heaven, you will see God. Don't get me wrong, I look forward to seeing family members who've gone on in the faith, but when I get there, I want to see the king. Yeah. And the text says will be around the throne. Don't get it. He says we'll be around the throne, a multitude, a number that could not be counted. But look at another reality. We will be people. Okay, you're looking like you don't believe me. It's right there in the text. He says, I saw a number, people from all nations, people from every tribe. I think you're going to have your accent when you go to heaven. It's in the Bible. Look at your neighbor. You're going to recognize them when you get to heaven. After a while, I'm actually to ask them if they're going to be there. But you're going to recognize them when you get to heaven. When we get to heaven, we're going to be people. When we get to heaven, we're going to worship and praise. When we get to heaven, we will be perfect. That there'll be no residue from what sin has caused you when you get to heaven. When we get to heaven, we will be productive because we'll be in perpetual peace. Oh, when we get to heaven, I'm thinking about a song, Pastor George, when we get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing. That's old church. I don't know nothing about that. When we get to heaven, we'll forever be in the presence of God. Oh, please don't miss this, because you got to understand what it means to be in the presence of God, where there is no more tears. Because the text says in Revelation 12, he'll wipe away every tear from your eyes. There's no more pain. When you're in the presence of God, always, because when we are in God's family, God brings us to live eternally with him. So we say it sometimes, you know, when we see each other, hey, how you doing? Well, you know, I woke up this morning. That's better than the alternative. Really? Not for a believer. Because we know that heaven is the place we want to be. Not for the streets of gold. Not for the walls of jasper. Not for the pearly gates. I mean that's nice. But because we'll be in the unrestricted presence of the Most High God. Did you get that? And he will wipe away, Dr. Al, every tear. No more. I like that's the land of no more. That's something that won't get into heaven. Heaven won't have everything. Heaven's going to have everything you need and everything you may have ever desired, but heaven won't have everything. Heaven won't have crime and trouble and problems and pain. Heaven won't have sickness and disease. No, because we'll be in God's presence eternally. So what do we do now? Well, we got to live in view of eternity. We have to live in view of eternity, knowing that we're going to go into an afterlife. And if we really love our friends and our neighbors and those we're connected to, we want to lead them to know Christ as well. Because everybody lives. And everybody, some of y'all are still awake in here. You don't want to say it. Everybody dies. And everybody goes into eternity. The question is, where are you going to be? I was frustrated, Kevin, and that's why I need you to pray for me. I was frustrated. Because some folk decided to have a marathon down the roadway, what I normally take to come to worship. And I was trying to figure out, you know, why would you shut down a whole road for people to run down the road that's designed for cars to travel on? Don't look at me, don't judge me. This was a vintage half marathon. My anxiety was building up because the Lord knows how I like to be a good steward of time, Pastor George, and I like to use all the time that I have before I transition to go to use my time somewhere else. Right. Which means I leave just at the... You don't understand my pain. In Austin, I was getting ready to leave, and I remembered that there were some signs along the way that told me that today was the day. Today was a day where people would be running down the street. I'd have been cool if they were running to church, but they were just running down the street. Called my wife. I said, listen, you gotta take an alternate route because there's, for some reason, on Sunday when they should be running to church, as cold as it is, there are going to be some people just running down the street. And then God corrected me as I was pulling up, and I got here just in the nick. I had to put that in there. Kevin, God corrected me. He said, but you don't remember, Avery. You were seeing those signs for weeks. You were seeing those signs as you were traveling home that was going to come. Says you saw the sign. It told you that on this date, from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m., that something was going. You saw the signs while you were on your way home. So you shouldn't have been upset. In fact, you should have been excited that you saw the sign. Come here, I'm trying to help you understand something here. God's been blessing you all your life. That's a sign. He woke you up this morning. That's a sign. He gave you Christ the Savior. That's a sign. And now you know that if Jesus Christ himself came from glory and he's good and everything about him is good, then how much gooder is that? That's not good English, but it's good theology. How much gooder is going to be when we get to glory to be with him? But you got to know him. Bow your heads all over the building, because in order to know him, you have to accept him as your king. Heaven will be heavenly, but in order to get there, we got to know God personally. So when you say yes to him, when you declare in your heart that he can sit on the throne of your heart, he then is your king. You can live life with holy anticipation, knowing that God's not done. And that when he is with you, he'll carry you from this life into the life to come in the land of no more sin, no more struggle, no more pain. But you have to have him as your king today.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.